from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla says Indonesia to focus on world peace. Vice President Yusuf Kalla attends dinner with Shinzo Abe, Mahathir Muhammad. Indonesia supports Maritime Labor Convention Amendment. Now the news in details. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said, as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council, Indonesia will give priority to preserving world peace. Indonesia has elected a new non-permanent member of the Security Council, defeating the Maldives, in a voting in the United National Assembly. The Vice President also said that Indonesia has been concerned with the number of conflicts in various parts of the world, such as in Afghanistan, reconciliation in the Korean Peninsula, and Rohingya issues. A meeting between North Korea and South Korea was a big progress toward reconciliation. According to the Vice President, Indonesia was re-elected non-permanent member of the Security Council because Indonesia was believed to be able to contribute to peace efforts in the world. Meanwhile, in Jakarta, an Indonesian university professor of international law, Hikmahanto Juwana, said Indonesia would have a number of benefits from being a non-permanent member of the Security Council. Position would enable the country to be more active in helping maintain world peace. In line with its constitution, Indonesia could be more active and take part in preserving world peace. According to Hikmahanto, Indonesia, which always spoke strongly for full independence for Palestine, could directly bring the issue up at the Security Council. If the United Nations and the Security Council are reformed, it is not impossible that Indonesia is seen by the world as deserving a seat among the permanent members of the Security Council. Vice President Yusuf Kalla attended a dinner as part of the agenda of the 24th International Conference on the Future of Asia with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad in Tokyo on Monday evening. He sat beside Abe at the same table with Mahathir and Korean Minister of Strategy and Finance Kim Dong-yeon. This was the first time he met with Mahathir, following the latter's inauguration as Prime Minister on May 10. The conference was held by Nikkei and attended by Asian countries' leaders to discuss the current situation in the region. Prime Minister Abe noted in his speech that there were three important things that countries must jointly deal with for the bright future of Asia. Firstly, human resource investment through improvement in education. Secondly, boosting changes in the community, and finally, actively managing people to start moving. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia has expressed its support for the ratification of the amendment of Maritime Labor Convention MLC governing the guarantee of financial rights for seafarers who are victims of pirate hostage or crimes at sea. This was conveyed by the Indonesian Minister of Manpower, Hanif Tahkiri, after the MLC amendment ratification process, which took place on the sidelines of the 106th International Labour Conference, ILC, session in Geneva, Switzerland, on Tuesday. Minister Dahiri said in a written statement received by Antara in Jakarta on Monday. With this MLC amendment, the employment agreement between seafarers and ship owners does not stop or cannot be terminated when the seafarers are being held hostage by pirates. As a result, seafarers' wages and other financial rights, which have been set forth in the agreement, should be paid. He added that in the MLC amendment, the governments of countries that have ratified the MLC are granted relief from administrative problem to be able to flexibly implement the amendment in accordance with their respective national regulation. Indonesian government determined Indonesia's target entering the world's top 10 economy in 2030. This is in accordance with one of national aspirations which is available on the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap as strategy to implement the fourth generation industrial revolution. This was stated by Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto in a press statement in Jakarta on Monday. The minister also said that the roadmap also becomes the national agenda which needs to be run continuously. Ministry of Industry will collaborate with ministries and organizations, regional governments and businessmen to conduct the strategic program in accordance with their respective tasks and function to advance the Indonesian nation. Indonesian Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, has stated that the use of technology in salt-making process can increase the production thrice more than that obtained from traditional production process. The minister said after inaugurating the Science and Technology Center for Salt in Padelagan Village, Pamekasan, Madura, East Java Province on Monday. The traditional salt-making process can only produce 130 tons of salt per hectare, while 390 tons of salt per hectare could be produced by making use of a technology. The minister stated that the minister would ask the government to provide technology for salt farmers in increase salt production. According to Nasir, the crystallization of brine usually takes 10 days, while it only takes 3 to 4 days using a technology. The Science and Technology Center for Salt Production in Pamekasan has been developed in collaboration with higher education institution in Madura. Garuda Indonesia predicts the air transportation sector during each day period this year has the potential to have two peaks of homecoming flow and reverse flow. Garuda Indonesia Operation Director Trianto Muharsono said the peak of homecoming flow occurred on June 10 and June 13, while the reverse flow on June 21 and June 24. According to him, the implementation of long mass leave by the government make people can arrange travel plans to be more organized. In addition, the peak of homecoming flow and reverse flow on one day will have a positive impact. His party also claimed to have held socialization to the prospective passengers to not make a bomb joke. It is also the concern of all stakeholders in the aviation sector. According to him, the news about bombings and criminal sanction are expected to make people know better and aware of its risks. Moreover, during each day, the domino effect of flight delay can be more severe. During this each day period, Garuda Indonesia Group prepares 160,000 extra flight seats to anticipate the increase of passengers on June 8 to 24, both for domestic and international route. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today, entitling Increased Purchasing Power Ahead of Idul Fitri Stimulates Economy. Idul Fitri holiday is only a few days ahead. The government has spent 35.76 trillion rupiah for holiday allowances and 13 salary for state officials, state apparatuses and pensioners. The allocation is up 68.9% compared to last year. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani said that the addition of holiday allowance component and the 13 salary is expected to encourage the growth of public consumption, so that it can stimulate the economy. According to the plan, the central government started disbursing the holiday allowance the end of May 2018. Meanwhile, the 13th salary is expected to be disbursed by the end of June or early July 2018. It seems that the government's efforts to boost the economy are successful. The situation of retail sales in late May and early June was considered quite exciting. Minister of Trade Enggartiasto Lukita announced the retail report in May 2018, which generally grew 10 to 15%. He remarked that the report shows no weakening of purchasing power, even predicted to continue to grow until July 2018. Association of Indonesian Shopping Centers Tenants, HIPIN, noted that the average sales of its members in May 2018 grew 15% compared with the same month last year. Chairman of HIPINDO, Budiharjo Idwansyah, mentioned that clothing products contribute the highest in the growth. Sales transaction reached 50 trillion rupiah. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Association of Indonesian Retail Entrepreneurs, APRINDO, Roy Monday, reported that the increase in retail sales reached 4.7%. This increase makes the retailers optimistic. Sales will continue to rise until Lebaran Day. The public optimism of the country's economic growth is also supported by the result of a government survey. Bank Indonesia Retail Sales Survey shows a growth trend with the real sales index in April 2018 of 4.1%. The data does not refer to major retailers, but traders in traditional markets throughout Indonesia. On one hand, high demand of certain products such as chicken, meat, ahead of the holiday will certainly lead to price hike. But the phenomenon that occurs each year do not discourage public spending if viewed from the data mentioned earlier. On the other hand, the government is expected to maintain the price hike under control. As a result, this may create a business climate that encourages the increase of people's income. Those people's purchasing power can continue to grow. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with June 12, 1964. Nelson Mandela is sentenced to life imprisonment. The leader of the South African anti-apartheid movement, Nelson Mandela, was sentenced to life in prison by a court of judge in the city of Pretoria. Mandela was found guilty of sabotaging the government at the time. Besides Mandela, seven anti-apartheid fighters were also sentenced to life imprisonment. Mandela was sent to Robben Island Prison off the coast of South Africa. The condition of this prison is very bad. He was only allowed to receive one visitor every 6 months. Every day, he was forced to break the stone in the prison yard for hours. During that time, Mandela became the most famous political prisoner in the world. World leaders were demanding freedom for Mandela. They wanted the apartheid regime in South Africa to be over. In 1982, the government moved Mandela to the mainland. This displacement was in line with the protests of many people against the apartheid regime in the country. After nearly 27 years as a prison inmate in Robben Island, in 1990, Mandela was finally released. Turning to June 12, 1990, first free elections take place in Algeria. first free elections took place in Algeria on June 12, 1990, and the results of this counting, the Islamic Salvation Front Party, or Le Front Islamique du Salut, FIS, won considerable votes. FIS managed to control more than 54% of the total number of incoming votes, while the ruling party, the National Liberation Front, only got less than 28%. With this victory, the FIS party had the right to control and gain privilege in most of the authorities in some cities as well as on power. But the victory was cancelled by the ruling party, supported by the military. As a result of the cancellation, Algeria was hit by riots and violence that resulted in many lives. I'll end today in history with June 12, 1991, Boris Yeltsin is elected president of Russia. After the Soviet Union collapsed, Boris Yeltsin was elected president of Russia through direct elections on June 12, 1991, with 57% of the vote. He became the first president directly elected in Russian history. Yeltsin ascended the presidency along with a wave of high hopes for political reform and disillusionment with communist rule. In his time, he cut the government budget on a large scale with the aim of balancing state revenues and expenditures and borrowed funds from Western countries. But this resulted in Russia falling in a great economic crisis in 1998. He resigned as president on December 31, 1999, as someone who was hated. His popularity then stepped down only 2%. Yeltsin was also criticized for his disappointing result in the First Chechen War, as Russia was militarily defeated and Chechnya got more autonomy. He was replaced by Vladimir Putin. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia. Entitling Pancasila belongs to the Indonesian nation, not a particular group. Pancasila belongs to the whole peoples of Indonesia, not belonging to certain groups. This was affirmed by Chairman of Committee 3 of the Regional Representative Council of the Republic of Indonesia, Fahira Idris, during the socialization of Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia, and Uniting in Diversity in Cipayung, East Jakarta last Sunday. Fahira Idris also reminded there should be no attitude or action of a group of people, let alone supported by certain powers, considered themselves the most Pancasilais and entitled to be interpreters of Pancasila values. He feels that such an attitude will pose some distraction and threaten the unity of the Indonesian nation. Fahira Idris also explained that arrogance that considers herself or himself most Pancasilais will be a source of commotion and the seeds of disunity, and this should not be allowed to happen. Fahira Idris reminded that the debate about Pancasila has been completed one day after the Republic of Indonesia proclaimed its independence on August 18, 1945. That day was the birthday of Indonesian Constitution, the 1945 Constitution whose opening is Pancasila. He also perceived that now Indonesian people should enjoy the strength of the five principles of Pancasila, especially the social justice for all Indonesian people. Meanwhile, Vice Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Mahyudin, during the socialization of four pillars in East Kalimantan last Tuesday, as quoted by Antaranus Agency, said that it's important to implement the fifth principle of Pancasila, the social justice for all Indonesian people. Mahyudin also remarked that in principle, the state should be able to create prosperity for its people. After 73 years independence, Indonesia is still facing a lot of poor people with malnutrition, not enjoying electricity, health, and so on. So he said, the government should be able to solve the social problems. Mahyudin reminds that Pancasila is the foundation of the state of Indonesia. So, without Pancasila, Indonesia can disband. Therefore, the values of Pancasila should be implemented in daily life by Indonesian people, especially its leaders and elite people. Mahyudin also explained that the socialization of the four pillars is intensively conducted so that the public better understand the ideology of the state. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, and that was My Indonesia. Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council, Indonesia will give priority to preserving world peace. Meanwhile, in Jakarta, an Indonesian university professor of international law, Hikmahanto Juwana, said Indonesia would have a number of benefits from being a non-permanent member of the Security Council. Vice President Yusuf Kalla attended a dinner as part of the agenda of the 24th International Conference of the Future of Asia with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad in Tokyo on Monday evening. Indonesia has expressed its support for the ratification of the Amendment of Maritime Labour Convention, MLC, governing the guarantees of financial rights for seafarers who are victims of pirate hostage or crimes at sea. Indonesian government determined Indonesia's target entering the world's top 10 economy in 2038. Indonesian Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir has stated that the use of technology in salt-making process can increase the production's thrice more than that obtained from traditional production's process. Garuda Indonesia predicts the air transportation sector during Idul Day period this year has the potential to have two peaks of homecoming flow and reverse flow. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR.
Today's sounds.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce Pondok Krakat Beach in Lombok to you. So stay tuned. Besides Bali, Lombok is one of the popular tourist destinations in Indonesia. The beauty of beaches attracts local and foreign tourists traveling to Lombok. In addition to Kuta Beach, Tanjung An, Ampenan Beach, Senggigi Beach, and Malimbo, which are already popular among domestic and foreign tourists, there are still many other interesting and beautiful beaches in Lombok. One of them is Tanjung Krakat Beach. It is located in Sukamulya, Pohgading Timur Village, Pringgabaya Sub-District, East Lombok Regency. The beach is very large with a stretch of black sand. The beach area are mostly filled with jeranjang grass and rembiga trees. Pondok Rakat Beach is also known as Tanjung Gali Beach. The beach is better known by the name of Pondok Rakat due to many Pondok Rakat or cottage line up around the beach. At Pondok Rakat, the fishermen who come from the village of East Poh Gading and its surroundings are gathered before starting rat or catch fish with a large net. The attraction of the beach lies on the large waves. Many tourists traveling to the beach spend their time to surfing. In addition to surfing, swimming is also a favorite activity on the beach. In addition, tourists also can do camping or playing football on the stretch of black sand. Pondok Rakat Beach is also equipped with a variety of interesting photo spots. A leading photo spot on the beach is pre-wedding photo spot. The photo spot is made of wood and the background is made from fabrics so that the spot photo is really resembling wedding stage. The photo spot is the most visited. In addition to pre-wedding photo spot, Pondok Rakat also has Intai Ikan photo spot. This photo spot is a lelenjen or short tower from which the visitors can see the expanse of the beach widely. Another photo spot in Pondok Rakat, namely Mushroom Table photo spot. The spot is made of coconut-based material and consists of a table with four slabs of coconut base supported by a pole from teak branches. The table is completed by four chairs, also made from the coconut base plates. In the mushroom table, you can sit back while enjoying the beautiful atmosphere on the beach. Another interesting activity on the beach is batalet. Batalet is a natural spa activity where tourists can bury half of the body or the legs up to the waist in the sand. Batalet therapy is recognized can cure rheumatic and uric acid since as long as the body immerses in the sand, the muscles of the legs and waist get a reflection to smooth blood circulation. Generally, the therapy just holds the body in the sand for 10 to 30 minutes because the longer the body is buried, the message felt stronger. The natural spa or batalet is better done at night. That was the regular segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pondok Rakat Beach in Lombok. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Sarah Reward Service Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Anggap Saja Rumah Sendiri or Make Yourself at Home. Next, I will give you an example of a conversation on anggap saja rumah sendiri, or in English, make yourself at home. Tony lives in Joko's house. Dinda, Joko's wife, will go outside. Dinda wanted to make Tony feel comfortable living in her home. So here is the conversation between Dinda and Tony. Dinda, Tony, kami akan keluar sebentar. Tony, oh ya, silakan. Kalau kamu mau minum, silakan ambil sendiri. Ya, anggap saja rumah sendiri. Terima kasih. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the expression and vocabulary related to the theme of the day, which is anggap saja rumah sendiri, or in English, make yourself at home. I will say each phrase or words 2 times and you may repeat after me. Kami akan keluar sebentar. Kami akan keluar sebentar. Which means we will be out for a while. Kalau, kalau, which means if. Kalau kamu mau minum, silakan ambil sendiri ya. Kalau kamu mau minum, silakan ambil sendiri ya. Which means, if you want a drink, just help yourself, okay? Anggap saja rumah sendiri. Anggap saja rumah sendiri. Which means, make yourself at home. If you want to ask friends who visit your home to serve themselves, say silakan ambil sendiri. Silakan ambil sendiri, which means make yourself at home or please help yourself. Then it can be added with the phrase anggap saja rumah sendiri, or in English, make yourself at home. Furthermore, in the dialogue there is the word kalau in the phrase, which means if. Kalau kamu mau minum, silakan ambil sendiri. Kalau kamu mau minum, silakan ambil sendiri. Which means, if you want to drink, please help yourself. There are several uses of the word kalau. One of them is used in conditional sentences. For example, kalau saya pergi, kamu akan sendirian di rumah. Kalau saya pergi, kamu akan sendirian di rumah, which means if I go, you will be alone at home. Another example, saya senang kalau bisa pergi ke Indonesia. Saya senang kalau bisa pergi ke Indonesia, which means I'll be happy if I can go to Indonesia. In the dialogue, there is a phrase, kami akan keluar sebentar. Kami akan keluar sebentar, which means we will go out for a while. Don't be confused with the word kamu. Kamu, which means you. Kami, kami means we. Another example, kami akan pergi ke rumah kamu besok. Kami akan pergi ke rumah kamu besok, which means we'll go to your house tomorrow. Kapan kamu akan ke rumah kami? Kapan kamu akan ke rumah kami? Which means, when are you coming to our house? Before ending, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the sample of conversation once more. Dinda, Tony, kami akan keluar sebentar. Tony, oh ya, silakan. Kalau kamu mau minum, silakan ambil sendiri. Ya, anggap saja rumah sendiri. Terima kasih.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present Malay songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Di Ambang Sore by Edi Silitonga. Just listen to the song Di Ambang Sore by Edi Silitonga. The song was composed by an Indonesian legendary composer, Ismail Marzuki, with a theme about someone's sense of longing. The Malay song was previously performed by a Malayan singer, Said Effendi, in the 60s era. Then Edisi Litonga brought it back and helped to popularize it to Malaysia. Through the song, the name of Edisi Litonga was also popular as the Indonesian Malay singer. The song Di Ambang Sore was also brought back by Victor Hutabarat, Iis Dahlia, and Ikke Nurjanah with their respective versions. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Bunga Tanjung by Edisi Litonga. Happy listening.
Harum bau Piti miskin lagi piatu.
You've just listened to the song Bunga Tanjung by Eddie Silitonga. The lyric of the song is like a rhyme and tells about the life of a helpless person. Like the previous song, the song Bunga Tanjung was quite popular between 1970s, even popular to the neighboring country. To conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Seroja by Eddie Silitonga, composed by Hussein Bawafi. This song was firstly popularized by Said Effendi, a Malay music artist. This song was also increasingly popular with the presence of the same movie, Seroja. The popularity of the song is not only in Indonesia, but also in Malaysia. The song contains a message, do not grieve for love. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song and see you in the next edition of Music Corner. Bye for now.
Remaja, putri remaja, rupa yang elok, dimanja, jangan dimanja, aku jalan ia, oh saja, sekedar saja.
Mengapa kau
Voice of Indonesia. VOR.
Today's sound.
Baumu si bunga la tanjung, harumnya sampai, harumnya sampai melintasi thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.